Today is the 27th day of August. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. It is great to see you. Great to be here with you today. Great to gather together once again from the four corners of the earth and be in this one safe place at this one time in history, and we get to be together and call it the 27th of August. And it's the 20th 27th of August, and so I am particularly grateful. Just every day, really, really, really pressing into gratitude. I cannot believe we're moving through a 20th year. Where did the time go? I am shocked and amazed and in awe. And also like, wow, that's 20 years of my life. So much transitions in 20 years. Think back 20 years ago to what you were doing. And so been doing that pretty much every day. 20 years ago, what was I doing? Where were we going? We had no idea that this was going to be every day for 20 years. So I am grateful and practicing gratitude today. And man, we are in the book of Job for the 20th time. And that book itself has transitioned and transformed so many times and so much in my life over the last 20 years. I guess 20 years ago, reading this, I did not like it. So many of the things were incongruent. I had this kind of view of how things were supposed to be and how the world was supposed to be and who God was and what he did and what he did not do. And so even though I had experienced some pretty significant suffering in my life, just, you know, finding language in the Bible just, I don't know, seemed odd. Now, 20 years later, having gone through the most intense suffering in my life, I find it to be profound, as it was intended to be, a book of wrestling, as it was intended to be. One of the reasons that I didn't like it was that it didn't sew it all up with a bow on top, you know, with some kind of handwritten note from Jesus. It was like knots. Like it just leaves you wrestling. I guess I've learned that suffering can kind of be that way. It takes some time. It takes some time to grieve and go through all of those stages over and over, as many times as it takes, as many years as it takes, and then to try to find perspective and meaning takes time and a lot of wrestling. And so in Job, we find that. And Job is deeply traumatized, deeply searching for answers, deeply not satisfied with the answers his friends are giving him or human wisdom. He needs and wants and seeks God to explain this. That is unsettling to his friends on a lot of levels, and they are doing their best to convince him of all kinds of things while trying to comfort him. It has kind of gotten into a full-blown argument at this point, with insults kind of being traded back and forth. What we find in all of this wrestling with suffering is ourselves. We can find ourselves in Job's voice. We can also find ourselves completely in the voices of Job's friends. So let's jump in and let's wrestle with it. Job chapters 23 through 27 today. The Then Job responded, "Even today, my complaint is bitter. His hand weighs heavily on me despite my groaning. I wish I knew where I could find him so that I could come to his place for judgment. Then I would lay out my case before him, and I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what words he would use to respond to me, and I would consider what he would say to me. Would he use his great power to press charges against me? No, he will certainly give me a hearing. There, an upright man could argue with him, and I would be delivered from my judge forever. But if I walk to the east, he is not there. If I go back to the west, I find no sign of him. When he is at work in the north, I do not detect him. When he turns to the south, I do not see him. But I am sure he knows the way I take. When he has tested me, I will come out like gold. My feet have followed his footsteps closely. I have kept to his way, and I have not turned aside. I have not departed from the command from his lips. I have treasured the sayings from his mouth in my heart. He stands alone. Who can make him change? Whatever his soul desires, he will do. He carries out his decrees against me, and he has so many of them. That is why I am in a panic in his presence. When I think about this, I dread him. God has made me lose heart. The Almighty has terrified me. Nevertheless, I am not silenced by the darkness, by the dark cloud that covers my face. Why are appointments never scheduled by the Almighty? Why do those who know him never see such days? People move boundary stones. They steal a flock and take it to pasture. They drive away donkeys that belong to the fatherless. They seize the widow's ox as collateral. They shove the poor out of the way. The oppressed people of the land hide together. They go out to their labor like wild donkeys in the wilderness, looking for food. The wasteland is their only source of food for themselves and their children. They gather their straw in the open countryside. They glean leftovers in the vineyard of the wicked. They spend the night naked, without clothing. They have no covering from the cold. They are soaked by heavy rain from the mountains. They cling to a cliff for shelter. The wicked tear away a fatherless child from its mother's breast. They take a poor mother's nursing baby as collateral. The poor walk around naked without clothing. They pick up sheaves, but are still hungry. They press olive oil among the terraces of olive trees. They tread wine presses, but they remain thirsty. The dying people of the city groan, and wounded souls cry out for help. But God does not bring charges against anyone. There are people who rebel against the light. They do not acknowledge its ways or dwell in its paths. At the end of the daylight, a murderer arises, and he kills the poor and needy. At night, he acts as a thief. The eye of an adulterer keeps watch for twilight. He says, "No eye can get a good look at me." He wears a mask over his face. In the dark of night, he digs into houses. By day, such people hide inside. They keep away from the lights. For all of them, morning is their darkness. They are familiar with the sudden terror of darkness. They float by like foam on the surface of the water. Their portion of the land is cursed, so no one turns onto the road to their vineyards. As drought and heat snatch away the water from the snow, the grave snatches away a sinner. The womb forgets him. A worm finds him sweet. He will no longer be remembered. Wickedness is broken like a tree. He feeds on the childless woman, and he does nothing good for the widow. But God drags away the mighty by his strength. He rises up so the wicked have no confidence in their lives. God lets them be secure, and they prop themselves up. But God's eyes are on their ways. They are high and mighty for a little while, but then they are gone. They are brought low like all the rest. They are gathered together like ears of grain that have been cut off. So then, who can make me out to be a liar? Who can reduce my words to nothing? Bildad the Shuhite responded, "The power to rule and to inspire fear belongs to him. He makes peace on high. Can anyone count his troops? Is there anyone on whom his light does not rise? How then can a man be righteous with God? How can one born of a woman be pure? If even the moon does not shine brightly for him, and if the stars are not pure in his eyes, how much less a man who is a maggot, and a son of man who is a worm?" Then Job responded, "How marvelously you have helped the helpless. How wonderfully you have saved the arm that has no strength. What great advice you have given to the one who lacks wisdom. What great insight you have revealed. Who helped you proclaim these words? Whose breath came out of your mouth? The spirits of the dead writhe in pain underneath the waters, along with all those who dwell there. Hell is naked before God, and there is nowhere to hide in the place of destruction. He stretches out the northern sky across the emptiness. He suspends the earth on nothing. He encloses water in his clouds. But the clouds are not broken apart by its weight. He dims the face of the full moon by veiling it with his clouds. He drew a circle around the surface of the waters. It marks the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of the heavens shake. They are stunned by his rebuke. By his power, he calmed the sea. By his understanding, he smashed Rahab. By his breath, the skies became beautiful. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. But all these are just the fringe of his ways. How faint a whisper we hear of him. Who understands his power, which is displayed in the thunder?" After a pause, Job began to present this discourse. "As God lives, he has deprived me of justice. The Almighty has made my life bitter. Yes, as long as the breath of life is still in me, As long as the breath from God is still in my nostrils, my lips will not speak wickedness, and my tongue will not murmur deception. May I be cursed if I ever admit you are right. Until I die, I will never deny my integrity. I have held tight to my righteousness, and I will not let it go. My conscience will not accuse me as long as I live. May my enemy be like the wicked. May the one who rises up against me be like the unjust. For what hope is there for a godless person when God cuts him off? When God takes away his life? Will God hear his cry when distress comes upon him? Will he take delight in the Almighty? Will he call upon God at all times? I will teach you about the hand of God. I will not hide what the Almighty is doing. Listen, all of you who have observed this. So why do you continue to spew forth such worthless vapor? This is the allotment a wicked man receives from God, the inheritance that tyrants receive from the Almighty. Although his children are many, they are sent to the sword. His offspring will not be satisfied with bread. Those who survive will be buried by a plague. They will be buried, and their widows will not weep. Though the wicked man piles up silver like dust, and he accumulates clothing like mounds of clay, the righteous will wear what he accumulated, and the innocent will divide his silver. He has built a house, but it will be like a moth's cocoon, like a shack that a watchman has put up. He goes to bed as a rich man, but his wealth does not remain. He opens his eyes and it is all gone. Terrors sweep over him like floodwaters. At night, a strong wind carries him away. The east wind lifts him up and off he goes. It blows him away from his place. It hurls itself at him and it does not spare him. He flees from its power as fast as he can. It mockingly claps its hands at him and drives him from his place with hissing. Second Corinthians 1, 12 through 2, 11. Indeed, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world with God-given holiness and sincerity. Not with the wisdom of the flesh, but rather in God's grace, especially toward you. In fact, we are not writing you anything other than what you read or also understand. And I hope you will understand completely, as you have also understood us in part, that on the day of our Lord Jesus, we are going to be your reason for boasting, just as you are our reason. In this confidence, I was planning to visit you first so that you would have a second gracious gift. Then I plan to travel from you on to Macedonia and to return again from Macedonia to you to receive help from you on my way to Judea. So when I made this plan, I did not do it lightly, did I? Or the things I plan, am I planning them the way the sinful flesh does, so that I would be saying both yes, yes, and no, no, at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him the yes stands firm. In fact, as many promises as God has made, they have always been yes in him. For that reason, we also say amen through him to the glory of God. God is the one who makes both us and you to be strong in Christ. He anointed us. He sealed us as his own and gave us the Spirit as the down payment in our hearts. I call God as my witness on my very life that I avoided coming to Corinth in order to spare you. Not that we are lording it over your faith, but we are working together with you for your joy, for you stand firm by faith. That is why I made up my mind that I would not make another sad visit to you. For if I make you sad, then who is there to make me glad other than those I made sad? I am writing for this very purpose, that when I arrive, I will not be made sad by those who should make me glad. I am confident about all of you, that what gives me joy is what gives joy to all of you. In fact, out of much trouble and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears. My goal was not to make you sad, but that you would know how very much I love you. Now, if anyone has caused sorrow, he has not done it to me, but to all of you to some extent, not to overstate it. This punishment inflicted on such a person by the majority is enough, so that instead you should rather forgive and comfort him, or else such a person could be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. For that reason, I urge you to reaffirm your love for him. In fact, this was also the purpose of my writing. I wanted to know the result of your being tested. That is, if you are obedient in all things. If you forgive anyone anything, I do too. To be sure, if I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven it in the presence of Christ for your sake, so that Satan would not take advantage of us. We are certainly not unaware of his schemes. Psalm 41. Even my friend. For the choir director, a psalm by David. How blessed is the person who understands the plight of the weak. May the Lord deliver him in the day of trouble. May the Lord guard him and keep him alive. May he be blessed in the land. May you not surrender him to the desire of his enemies. May the Lord sustain him on his sick bed. You raise him up from his bed. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil about me. When will he die and his name perish? If one comes to see me, he speaks falsely. In his heart, he collects malicious plans. He goes out, he speaks about them in the streets. All who hate me whisper together against me. They plan evil for me. They say a deadly affliction is poured out on him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Even a man who was at peace with me, a man whom I trusted, who ate my bread has raised up his heel to step on me. But you, Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up so that I can repay them. From this I know that you are pleased with me. My enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, in my integrity, you uphold me, and you set me up in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from eternity to eternity. Amen and amen. Proverbs 22, 5 and 6. Thorns and traps are on the road followed by the crooked. Whoever guards his soul will stay far away from them. Dedicate a child to the way he should go, and even when he becomes old, he will not turn away from it. So, as we're continuing this journey through Job, we're watching the conversation that began as lament and deep empathy and comfort move into more and more agitation, all the way until this full-blown existential debate over what God does and does not do. And in today's reading, Job does most of the talking, and he is passionately describing what he has observed of the movements of God in the world. And then his friends, they try to explain why God did what he did. But these explanations to all of the why questions are falling flat. For Job, nobody can really answer why God does or does not do a thing except God himself. Let's step back for a second on that. There's a humility there that we need to wrap our heads around and get our hearts fully engaged with, because we like so often to speak the things that God does and does not do and who he does and does not do it with, in the same way that we're watching Job's friends do in all kinds of situations and circumstances. For Job, nobody could really answer, no human could really answer why God does or does not do something except God himself. That is the truth. And that is what Job had been saying all along. And so he says today, if I just knew where to find him, then I would go to his court and I would lay out my case. I would present my arguments and I would listen to his reply, and then I would understand what he says to me. So Job and his friends have themselves kind of in a circle, moving in a circle. On the one hand, Job is looking for answers from God, but he can't find God. On the other hand, Job's friends keep trying to tell Job that only a righteous person can ever hope to find God. So Job, if he can't find God, must not be righteous as he believes himself to be. But Job isn't, he is not going to be talked out of his belief in his own innocence and in the injustice of what is happening. And he is not going to be talked out of his pursuit of finding God. And he says, as long as I'm breathing, I will speak no evil, and my tongue, I will not be deceptive. I will never concede that you are right. I will absolutely defend my integrity until I die. I am innocent and I will maintain that innocence. And I have a clear conscience about it as long as I live. So, like, there's not a lot of wiggle room there. Like, that is a line in the sand. That is planting your flag. That is the hill you're going to die on. He's going to pursue God's presence even if it kills him. And he would hope in God even if there is no hope. And that is a hopeless pursuit. That is so deep, in such deep emotional pain, in such deep convictions. This is the kind of stuff we avoid. Unless we're suffering, and then these things surface. It is so much easier to try to give or get the right answers when everything seems to be going reasonably manageable. Job's life has fallen apart. He is experiencing complex PTSD. Like, that's what we would call it now. He is absolutely ruined. His life is upside down. The only thing he thinks and believes and feels will give him any balance was to actually find and encounter God. But what would he find if he found God? Even Job says, like once he has made his choice and decided, who can change his mind? Whatever he wants to do, he does. So he will do to me whatever he plans. He is in control of my destiny. And that scares me. That terrifies me in his presence. That is so honest, brutally honest. And that gives us a chance to think about our own postures when we're asking questions that are one word. Why? Why? Are we chasing after God so that he will make the pain go away? Because we think he'll make it make sense? What if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? Because that's the point of wrestling that we're at. And that is major wrestling. We need the answers to those kinds of questions. Otherwise, that we get really uneasy in our spirituality. And yet, these are realities that the scriptures are bringing up because these are realities we face in life. So, wrestle. I am, like, wrestle with your own heart and the way it's postured today. If you could choose answers, or you could choose God, even if you don't get the answers, what would your choice be? Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Angstiness that I can feel in my own heart, the anguish of it all, is being brought right squarely into our own anxieties and fears and all of the raw, darker emotions that we face as human beings. If we could get our answers, or we could have you without the answers, what would we pick? Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth, that we might answer truthfully and wrestle with and consider truthfully, what are we after here when we are suffering? Holy Spirit, come. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home. The Daily Audio Bible app is home as well. Check it out. Be connected. Stay connected. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for the journey that takes us through the Bible in a year. Check out the community section as well. That is where the prayer wall lives. It is also where you will find the different links to the social media channels and platforms that we participate in. And if you are in those spaces, then let's connect in those spaces. We try to be an encouragement on the journey that we're on, as well as announcements, community announcements, different things happening in the kind of places where we communicate like that. So check that out. Follow along. Be connected. Stay connected. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Really beyond words, thank you. Humbly, deeply. We would not be here if we were not in this together. And so, if this mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen, anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around this rhythm, the rhythm of showing up, the rhythm of showing up for each other, showing up for ourselves, if that is life-giving to you, thank you humbly for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this call is for Linux. I am going to go by Princess of Truth. I've listened to the Daily Audio Bible for 5 years, and I've been praying in the background, but I've never called in. But Linux, you, when you called in, it really stirred, the Holy Spirit really stirred me to reply to you. I, too, have dealt with long COVID, and I think probably the hardest, or one of the hardest things about long COVID is not just the physical and the mental and emotional problems that goes along with it, but it's people telling you that they don't believe you, that it's all in your head, that you should trust God more, that and just feeling isolated. So I want to tell you that there is hope, because I feel like I have turned a corner since June and I'm getting my life back. I prayed nights and nights and nights when I couldn't sleep because of long COVID, the insomnia. And sometimes I felt like God didn't hear my prayers either. And sometimes my faith was weak. But I want to encourage you and I want to lift you up. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I lift Linux up to you. Lord, please encourage him by your Holy Spirit. Bring people into his life who will help him and give him the solution to this long COVID that he is suffering with, Lord. I just pray that you will surround yourself with him and let him know that he is loved, he is heard, and that you do listen to his prayers. Lord, I thank you for your mighty blessings, and I thank you for complete and total restoration for Linux. In Jesus' name, amen.
I don't know why this is just hitting me, but as Brian is saying, the 20th of August, this is the 20th time that he has read through the Bible. It is hitting me that he has said this almost every day of this year, 2025, and I'm like, whoa, that means it's 19 years of my life as well. Do you realize the magnitude of two decades? Wow. I know maybe many of you have, but I'm blessed that God does not see time and space, and He continues to grow us step by step, inch by inch, service by service, trial by trial, and of course the reading by reading. I just read Esther this morning, and I am just so excited because the Lord showed me stuff about Esther that I had never seen before. What a picture, what a beautiful picture it was. Go back and read Esther because it was powerful. I just want to pray over this Dab Nation. Father, I love each and every person that takes the time to call in. But the ones that don't call in, but that are praying fervently behind the scenes, you see them, you know them. And whether they've been here 1 year or 20 years, it matters not to you. You love us all equally the same. Thank you, Father, that you are King, Jesus is Lord, and we are your children. In Jesus' name.
Shalom, shalom, Dab family. It is August 20th, and I heard a prayer request from a woman who's calling in for her pastor, and she said that he was diagnosed, I guess, with a serious type of disease. I don't know what it is. I can't remember, but he's going to Cleveland Clinic, I think, or Mayo Clinic, and going for some intense therapy. And I just want to lift him and his family up to your seat of mercy and grace, Father God. I think she mentioned he was a pastor. And they're also having some other situations going on in their home. So they're just going through a real season of turmoil. And this was, as they say, the proverbial icing on the cake. So, Father God, we lift this entire family up to you. Father God, we know that you have this family in your arms, that you are in control of the situation. This is a pastor who has faith and hope and love, and we are just all standing in agreement against anything that will stand in the way of him getting this treatment that he needs, Father God, and bringing this family closer to you, Father God. It is in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Hello, I am a mother, and I am calling from Southern California. I'm hoping to get a lot of prayers for my son, Christian. He was in at football practice last week, and another person on his team tackled each other, and he sustained a very traumatic knee injury. And we got X-rays. It shows that it's fractured, and we're waiting for an MRI. But he is just devastated. He was looking forward to playing in high school sports. He's been athletic all his life, and I keep trying to tell him to continue to pray that we don't understand God's plan, and that he will, God's plans for us are bigger than we can even imagine. But he is having a difficult time, and we are too, because we know that he loves sports, and, you know, he's really good at it. So if I could ask our family at DAV, pray for him, pray for healing, pray for peace, pray for understanding, and also pray for the medical team to move quickly so that we can get him on the road to rehab. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible. It's a 20-year listener here. I called in a couple of weeks ago about my son leaving and me being terrified Just wanted to give a praise report that God is good and he heard our prayers. And our relationship with my son is on the mend. But if he could still lift us up in prayer, he needs God. Both my sons need God. And I just want to thank you because he's listening. He's listening to the audio Bible. God bless you.
Well, this is Larry out here in middle of the cornfield in Iowa. I'd like to get a prayer chain going for my grandson. He does this every year. He's out in the Cottonwood Peak Fire in Nevada. He's a wildfire fighter. And it's doubling in size every day. I try not to worry, but I am. I gotta admit it. If everybody could just put him on your prayer list. His name's Brian. He's 27 years old and single. Kind of a wild child. But he loves the Lord and he's been saved for quite a number of years. And I sure love him and don't want anything to happen to him. So if you guys could pray for him, I sure would appreciate it. Thanks, DAB. I listen to you guys every day and I pray right along with you. This is Larry from Iowa. Thanks.